Crypto is starting to soar, but what about Algorand and Hedera? Well, we have Algorand and Hedera news today, but boy, is it not looking great for Algorand and Hedera compared to all the other coins now. Hedera had, or I should say, Algorand had kind of a bump up, not quite the same as a lot of other coins are looking. So we'll get into that today. We're going to look at the World Liberty financial situation and dive into that a little bit, plus some other general crypto news. We've got Algorand news coming up. Plenty of stuff going on there. Plenty of Hedera news as well. Just a whole bunch of stuff. We'll look into all that today on Frugal BC. Hope everyone is doing well out there. It's quite the day for crypto markets in general, and unfortunately for our two main utility coins that we cover, it's not doing so well. I'm looking forward to diving into those charts very soon. Great day just for market cap in general is on the rise. The coin market cap 20 is up even more than the general market cap. We are almost into greed territory. We are at the very edge of neutral. We'll talk about that today. Chat very quiet this morning. So if you're tuning in and you want to let us know what you think, go ahead and hit us up in that chat. Let us know what bags you're excited about today. What's doing well for you? Tell me what's going well, what's not going so well. We'll dive into that. I just shared my portfolio. I was a little late on, way late on that video, let's be honest. Way late on that video. Apologies for that. But we will dive into that in a bit. I gotta tell you, one thing I've been struggling with is keeping up with the newsletter. I do have a newsletter, it's on beehive.com. Which was one of my biggest mistakes is moving it to Beehive. It has zero discovery whatsoever. It's a very extractive model. It's like pay us first and then maybe you'll start making money from this thing. What I love about Substack is it's like, we'll make money when you make money. I trust that model much better than the alternative. Because I don't like that they're making money off of people who aren't making money. I'd rather give a percentage to Substack than have them just take money off the front end. I think that's awful. So, not a fan of Beehive. Not been a fan of that. Green Blue Algo in the chat saying good day. What is up, Green Blue? Are any of your bags making money? That's what we're trying to determine. Because I think for a lot of people it's really good. I mean, Bitcoin sitting, well, you know what? Let's not waste any time. Let's just get right into the charts because I'm just too excited. So here's our charts and Bitcoin. At 75,600 over that, well on its way to 76,000. Green Blue says silver is looking good. Well, we'll get to that when we get the Algorand stuff. We'll look at the silver, melt gold. I saw that mine is a little up. Also, the S&P 500 completely erased all its losses. And it's actually ever so slightly up on the year as of this morning. I don't know what that's done since, but I actually didn't even get a chance to look at my stock portfolio. My index funds are probably way up. Not so much on like the Russell 2000 still down. I think the Nasdaq's still down a little bit, but the S&P 500 like completely erased its losses, which is kind of crazy. It just seems to be I've been developing this thesis that nothing stays down too long. It seems like that's the case. It seems like we're just in a world where that doesn't happen. So anyway, like I said, fear and greed. Look at the fear and greed index sitting at just under, I mean, just at the top end of neutral, heading toward greed, which we have not seen in a long time. I haven't seen it this high in a very long time. Market cap up 4.3%, sitting at $2.54 trillion. And the coin market cap 20 at 5% up. That actually popped down a little bit since I first pulled this up. That's pretty good. Ethereum at almost 2,400. Tether, well, we skipped Tether. Doesn't make sense to talk about US dollar coin price, right? Unless it was a major like depegging or something. BNB at 624, heading back up. Green Blue says starting moving some things over from folks over to Tiny Man might snatch some more algo. Interesting. Tell me more about that, because I'm starting to see a lot of negative sentiment around folks. I think the coin tanking in price had a lot to do with that. Maybe we can look at that while we do our Algorand segment. Solana 85, almost $86. So popping back up, still not to 90 where I'd like to maybe see it. That would be a more bullish level for me. Tron at 32 cents, Dogecoin 9.5 cents, Hyperliquid at 44 just about. And yeah, here's Luna said Leo kind of flat. So remember I told you guys now I went outside the top 10 a little bit. Remember what I told you about Unised Leo? It just tends to be a counter mover to the market, which is very interesting. Well, who's the biggest gainer now? Let's see who gained the most. Something called RaveDAO, followed by EdgeX. We've talked about that one a couple times. Relatively new. Monad having a nice week or day, and a week for that matter, but we'll get to that. Venice Token at number 3, Monad at number 4. PancakeSwap at number 5 at 6.75%. Ethereum 6.6, so making the top 10. PumpFot Fun at 6.2. Pudgy Penguins at 6.2. Aave at 6.2. And EtherFi at 6. Now Algorand sitting just outside the top 10 for daily gainers. But as you can see, when we get to the week, it's down, and that's why we're still under 11 cents compared to the nearly 13 cents. We're up at like 12, way above 12 and a half. I know that for sure. But, you know, it is a nice little gain, so you can't complain about that too much, at least on the week. And then how about, speaking of the week, yeah, this RaveDAO just like shot up like crazy, 5,900%. up. So if you invested in this coin, you got very rich, assuming you sold it. You know, the sad thing is most people are going to round trip this thing. I think it's okay to wait for a little bit of a pullback. You know, obviously you're leaving some money on the table, but that's what I did with, when I first bought Bitcoin, Ethereum and Litecoin, I waited till I saw some crazy behavior. That was like euphoric behavior to me, and I sold it all. And I made a good profit, but you know what? I'd be worth way more today. Anyway, yeah, Venice Token at 39%, Monad at 37.5%, just about a little above that, 35.5% up for Zcash, Dash 31%, WorldCoin at 27, Siren 23.6%, just at 22, just under 23%. Hyperliquid up 21% on the week, and Aerodome Finance up 21. So how about losers? Losers on the day is Siren. This is one of our new pumping ones. Midnight not doing so great at 7% down. Dash down 2.53. Greenblue says GME coin finally got broken. Interesting. BitTensor down 2.2%. I've been getting a lot of questions about BitTensor lately. And that's about it. I mean, otherwise we're kind of like tongue coins down like 0.9. XDC Network. Where's Bobby Jonas? He has not been in my chat for a long time. Bobby Jonas, my XDC troll. I kind of miss him. I do. I like the trolls. Let's see. Artificial Super Intelligence Alliance at down 7.7, Official Trump Coin down 0.5, just down 0.46, and Arbitrum 0.22, and that's about it in the top 100. The week, I think we're going to see something different here. Let's see, we got, yeah, BitTensor down 21%, World Liberty Financial down 14%, popping back up a little on the day. We're going to talk about World Liberty Financial. We're going to break it down a little bit. I think that'll be fun to respond to. Midnight down 13%. Polygon down 5.46%. EdgeX down 4.83%. There's Algorand on the list down 4% on the week. And that normally wouldn't make the charts, but everything has been pumping this week so much that a 4% loss can get you number 6 on the top weekly losers. Sorry to see Algorand there. Like I said, it's usually not in these charts. Algorand or Hedera, you just usually don't find it in these losers gainers charts. And this week it was just outside the top for weekly gainer, for daily gainers, and then it's number 6 for weekly losers. Very interesting. Polkadot down 4%, Ether.fi down 2.5%, Render 1.2%, and XDC Network 1.1%. I wish Bobby was here. I'd love to throw it in his face. I don't have anything personally against XDC. I just think it's funny to troll him because he's such an XDC maxi. Don't be a max. So the Algorand charts. Green Blue says, I still like folks, but they need to communicate more. They had a shady investor try to dump their folks allotment. There's like 2% of folks circulating, so volatility is understandable. Oh, for sure. For sure. Hold on a second. Now, an important thing that we get on the Haystack charts, and by the way, Haystack, proud sponsor of the Frugal BC channel. You can check out the link to them below and start trading and saving money today. Plus, you can earn on your assets that are just sitting idle. You can turn on auto yield and you just start earning. It's pretty cool. Important thing about it, Algorand is up 18.62% on the 30-day chart, something that Haystack gives us that I haven't really seen a lot of other platforms do. It's kind of neat. One thing I don't like is I have to skip through T-Algo and Governance Algo. It's good to have that chart, by the way. This is good to have this. And you can see the difference between Governance X Algo and T-Algo. That's a big difference. One is gaining a lot more than the other. Not sure what is up with that. Alpha Arcade continues its slide. It's up a little bit on the day, but down almost 14% on the week. Well, Tiny continues to pop up ever so slightly. I still have Tiny staked that I'm earning Tiny on and converting every once in a while when I remember about it. Speaking of folks, it is up 47% on the week and almost 14% on the day. So that's some good news for folks fans. Pokegold up 5.5. Here's a big one. Donkey Dow up 10.27% on the day. Now, a lot of that is because Donkey Dow has been burning a lot of DDAO, like a lot of it. And you would expect the sudden reduction of supply to start impacting the price a little bit. It makes sense. But demand is really important too. So you gotta always keep that in mind. MyCoin 5.5, Vocoin 5.2 up 17% on the week. Let's see, we're skipping the derivatives as always. Pheasant Pluckers at 9% on the day. That's pretty good. And Stable's up a little bit. Liquid Hog is up 4%. There's Coop at 5%. And here's Meld Silver 3%, Meld Gold 2%, and Munko up 12%. I've been liking my Munko lately. By the way, I've been staking. Realms has something called like the Polaris staking. It's like an auto staking where you don't have to, what do they call that? A light touch, something like that. It stays in your wallet, which is pretty neat. Something called Disco is up 57%. Gunna up 29%. Nico up 14%. When I actually got a bag of Nico from the Realms people. It was worth like $500. And I agreed to hold on to it for a year. Now it's worth like $11 or something. That's the nature of these, man. You can't, you got to remember when you buy these ASAs, I mean, the odds that they're just going to go to next to nothing, pretty high. You're taking a pretty big risk and there is some upside. So if you, I don't even know if it's the asymmetric upside is worth it on most of these, to be honest. You know, if you get them from various ways, okay, fine, but anyway, that's the Algorand coins. Let me check up Saucer here. I did not get the dual stream clicked in time. There's seems to be a certain time frame that you have to do it, and if you don't, it doesn't work, and I missed it today. So I think our numbers are going to be lower than typical. But that's okay. We're all here. We're all having fun. So HBAR itself up 1.2%. Not enough to make the weekly or the daily gainers. And at 0.086, I mean, that's sitting pretty flat. That's under where it was like, I don't know, 3 weeks ago, 3 months ago, something like that. Jesse Walter says, is there a benefit to holding Alpha or Hey? Well, yes. Alpha gives you, and if you, I talk about this, I think I made a video a while back that you can find on my channel talking about my experiment, but I do weekly updates on my channel members for the channel member level 2. But basically, and you can see the amounts, but basically Alpha, if you hold Alpha, you earn a cut of the fees that are made through the trading platform. And it's paid out in US dollar coin. Now with Haystack, holding Haystack, I think gives you benefits for trading. I think you get less, I think you get a lesser fee for trading, something like that. So there's benefits to both of them. That's an important thing to keep in mind too. All right, going down, Sauce at up 2.9%. See, some of the Hedera tokens are doing really well, though you have to separate the derivative ones. Bonzo 1.2, Exsauce 2.4, BSL 1.61, Dovu barely moving, Gib up 1.2, a lot of them in the one range. We'll just kind of gloss those a little bit. Yeah, it's not great. It's not a great day, actually, for the Hedera tokens. Most of them are up or down just a teeny tiny bit. Dosa fell quite a bit at 4.46%. Not so good for Dosa. Yeah, like says, these ones are up a little bit. Suit is up 3.5%. That did pretty good. Most of these just kind of sitting tight. 2.8% on Centex. XKBL 1.1, I have no idea what these are. H Barbarian, good name, just under a percent up, so not a lot of movement. Sauce Inu up 4.2%. That's one of the newer ones. Boy, otherwise, next to nothing. What, this link, wow. Whatever this link was, it just dropped to nothing. It shouldn't even be on here. I think it's just too low to even be on here. So that's the Hedera tokens, and thanks for tuning into that. Let me check something real quick. Okay. Well, we can start getting to our segments now, because we got three segments I want to get through, and that will take a little while. So, small audience today. You know what? I think I put all my tags in, right? And by the way, for those of you here, if you haven't hit the like button already, I'd really, really appreciate you doing that. Like I said, you just don't have to smash it like everyone says, smash the like button. Blah. No, you just press it gently and it works just fine that way. Okay, yeah, we're doing okay here. Let's see, just going and checking some stuff and we will get to the... Oh yeah, I got all the tags in. I'm going to add one. I'm going to add a couple tags. I don't know if it'll make much difference, but we got some... we got an Algorand segment coming up, a Hedera segment, and just a general crypto one where we're going to focus on World Liberty Financial. Well, I guess we'll just start with Algorand. That's usually best. Okay, let me get a drink of water and we'll get started. Algorand, Stacey Warden have been quiet, not spending a lot of time in the spotlight, but that has changed recently. She's had a couple appearances on Bloomberg. She has gone on the Wolf of Wall Streets podcast recently, which we covered last week, and now she's about to have this fireside chat with a big Algorand luminary. Let's get into that right now in this Algorand news segment. This is Stacey Warden directly. Tomorrow, I am doing a fireside chat with Chris Peekert on the quantum threat to blockchain. I say luminary because Chris Peekert, invented some of the science that is going into post-quantum security. He's the man, okay? So this is a guy you want to pay attention to, right? I thought it was a live Twitter space, but I just found out that it will be pre-recorded. Send me all of your questions. This is your chance to learn everything you ever wanted to know about post-quantum cryptography. So you can go to Stacey's site at StaceyW_DC if you want to have your question answered. I tell you, I'm not smart enough to answer, ask a question, probably. I think a lot of people aren't. Joe Polney says it would be great to hear his thoughts on Lattice alternatives, particularly multivariate crypto. Lattice seems to be the most proven and best choice for short, medium term, but some schemes like Mayo have pretty compelling properties for blockchains. Joe is actually an engineer on the Algorand Foundation, so that's pretty neat. Will we see fully homomorphic encryption on Algorand? Yeah, I don't even know what that means. At a high level, how is Falcon different from standard elliptic curve cryptography? How does this approach benefit both benefit and differentiate Algorand versus other chains using SHA-384 and other standard cryptographic methods? Loaf Pickle saying, huge fan of Falcon signatures. I was wondering when we could get other avian names like hawk signatures and my favorite bird, the emu. Stacy says, OMG. So anyway, if you want to learn, I'm looking forward to this coming out, which they don't explain when it's coming, but it's coming at some point. Maybe on the Foundation YouTube channel, maybe. So keep an eye out for that. But we got other news. I thought this one was kind of interesting. The global coffee brand Lavazza has been actively using Algorand since 2022 to power traceability across its La Reserva de Tierra Cuba coffee range. This month, new on-chain activity highlights continued adoption. From field to cup, every step is recorded on Algorand, including farm locations, coffee varieties, harvest data, processing methods, and transport steps. Consumers can simply scan a QR code on their coffee package to access verifiable, immutable data. So that's cool, but okay, they've been doing this since 2022. My question would be, why haven't they expanded this? And by the way, I love Lavazza coffee. I have been drinking Lavazza coffee for at least 2 or 3 years at this point. It's really good. It's actually got a pretty good deal on Amazon, and it's really good coffee. But I have to wonder, at this point, it's like, well, that's great, but why? It says new on-chain activity highlights continued adoption, but what does that mean? Did they add more? I don't understand why they don't explain that a little better. So I guess that is what it is, but I would like to see. I wonder why not, if that's the case, which it kind of seems like that's the case. Seriously, why not? All right, Jenny Levine, Algorand's CLO and COO. She's basically the chief legal officer. She's like the main lawyer lady here at Algorand, says the SEC's issued a staff statement today, clarifying when DeFi user interfaces need broker-dealer registration. Here's what it says and why Algorand builders should care. And I think we should care too, right? Covered interfaces, DeFi frontends, wallet extensions, and mobile apps that help users prepare crypto asset securities transactions through self-custodial wallets. The safe harbor conditions to avoid registration. Non-custodial, non-discretionary, no order routing decisions. No solicitation on trade recommendations, connects only to permissionless on-chain protocols, and fixed neutral fee structures only. The line the SEC is drawing, passive software that connects users to on-chain protocols is not automatically a broker. The moment you add custody, off-chain order routing, or trade recommendations, you're inside the broker regime, regardless of what you call your product. In other words, got to keep your hands off, right? It's got to be all decentralized. Scope check. This guidance covers crypto asset securities only. Algo has been classified as a digital commodity, so Algorand-based DeFi isn't automatically in scope for broker registration in the first place. Well, there you go. It doesn't even matter. Only matters if you're a security asset. Now, why it still matters for Algorand builders if your dApp interacts with any tokenized asset that could be characterized as a security, so like tokenized stocks, tokenized version of NVIDIA, this applies. These conditions define the line between building freely and triggering registration requirements. This is a staff statement, not a rule. It takes effect today and lasts through April 2031, unless changed. The comment period is open worth submitting if your project is affected. So, I don't know, some of you older folks like me, you see 2031, it seems like impossibly in the future, and then you think, oh, that's like 5 years away. That's crazy. Yeah, so anyway, bottom line, Algorand mostly safe from this anyway. Oh, and it just means you have to register if you're actually handling securities, and you do so in kind of a hands-on manner. So if you're not touching it, if it's all decentralized and the platform's doing the work, then you're probably fine anyway. But I thought that was worth covering. Here's some cool stuff from Para. U.S. users, we have another one for you. Coinbase is now integrated through RealMeld for better rates on your on-ramp experience. And King says, yeah, they're getting better. Appreciate this. The earlier fees were pretty insane. This helps a lot. He says, we have other solutions in the pipeline as well for more frictionless, stable on and off ramping with better rates. Yeah, the on and off ramping is always like the difficult part. It really is. It's where it gets expensive. You know, I've tried like MoonPay and stuff like that. It's you pay a lot in fees. So like the whole like promise of crypto being low fees is kind of negated when you have these companies that are charging like crazy fees to on-ramp. But at least you can swap them around, right? All right, so I thought this was pretty cool. Don Kwok of Easy, a friend of Frugal BC, as you can see, he follows me, even though he is has over 100,000 followers. Big fan of each other here. Phil, not so much. He unfollowed me, I think. But, you know, that's okay. Dom's cool. Anyway, he says, you can love me or hate me, but the bottom line is that Kwok, Phil, and I have changed millions of people's lives through the work we do on the EZA app. Now, this is what was he talking about? Well, EZA had this partnership with Algorand a while back, which was really neat. And it helped bring some, first off, they added Algorand to their app, which helps explain how crypto works to people, which I think is awesome. But secondly, they held a series of hackathons. They had two like major hackathons for Algorand. They drew great big crowds too. Anyway, 6 months ago, we were at the EZA app and Algorand Foundation hackathon building Disco. What is Disco, you might wonder? It is connecting local AIs into one big network. Faster, cheaper, and fairer AI. Chat locally, earn globally, built on Algorand. Pretty neat, huh? We should probably follow that, huh? Yeah, we'll follow them. Oh, we are following. Okay. Now today we're meeting Emily M4K, our local MP in the House of Parliament, to talk about the UK's AI strategy. Massive thanks to ACT members for hosting. Kwok says, we're changing the world with it. Just the beginning. Pretty neat stuff. So yeah, I think this is great. This is a company that was built on the EZA hackathon for Algorand, and then is now actually influencing members of Parliament in the UK. What does MP stand for? See, I would think PM for like parliamentary member, but member of Parliament maybe? I don't know. I'm not a UK guy. I mean, I like them, but like I don't know them. I don't know the UK all that well. Never been there. Be interesting to visit sometimes. I always thought it'd be neat to watch like some kind of football match. What you guys call football. I don't call it football. I call football football. Anyway, Sarah Jane saying, oh, by the way, AlgoFam, AlgoDevs, you can now view the X402 on Algorand page in the developer portable page. It includes a tutorial for client-side and resource server setup. So agents can transact using Glow Plausible as the facilitator. Let me know how it goes. Now, if you're wondering what X402 is, it's a payment standard for agents to make payments to other agents. And if you're wondering why that matters, it's because, you know, these agent payments are going to happen really, they need to happen really fast and they need really low fees and there's going to be a ton of them. And it's going to be how your agents go out and do things in the world eventually. Right now, it's kind of a handful of hobbyists using them, but this is going to be a big thing going forward. So Algorand X402 is the payment standard. Algorand supports it amongst a number of other standards, but X402 is like the Coinbase developed standard. It's probably going to be the most likely standard. And I think Algorand has a good, I think this is going to be a big use case for Algorand are these agent-to-agent payments. So agents are different from like language models in that they can actually perform actions in the world. And they're a little more scary too. You know, you don't want your agent going out and buying like 10 Ferraris on your credit card or something. I know that's a ridiculous example, but you get the idea. So that is going to be the future of Algorand, I think, firmly. And so even though that might seem like a small little news item, it's a little step towards that future on Algorand, which I think is going to be really important. So, hey, guys, I appreciate you tuning in for that Algorand segment. And keep holding on. At least the price might not be doing well, but at least the news is coming. You know, it was interesting. I saw a post by Scott Melker about price in Bitcoin, and someone asked, like, well, if this thing never had appreciated in price, would you care about Bitcoin? And he said, no, but also that's kind of the point. Like, the point of it is that it is an asset that appreciates, and it's the promise of being a world currency. Well, I could argue about that, because I know he says it's meant to be a financial instrument, so of course you're going to care about the price. It'd be dumb not to. However, I don't think it was initially conceived what it's become, which is essentially a store of value. Like, I think the idea was you'd be able to move money at velocity and speed and in a decentralized manner. So I think it's become something different than it was conceived in some ways. But I think you can still care about the ethos and care about the price at the same time and care about the technology. It was a good post. He has a good newsletter. I highly recommend. I read it pretty much every day. I think we're going to do Hedera next. Okay. Token Relations just released their Hedera. Let me start that over. Token Relations just released their Hedera biannual report and has some very interesting things to say about the Hedera ecosystem. We're not gonna bore you with the whole thing because it's really, really long, but we're gonna go through the highlights on today's Frugal BC. And here's the post here from Token Relations, which is considers themselves the top ecosystem and investors relations platform, helping teams build better informed stakeholders. I guess proofreading isn't one of the, they're not one of the top proofreaders. Let's be honest about that. But hey, good. This should be interesting. So we're not going to dive into the what is or the mission. We know about this. I think this is interesting. Executive summary: over the past 6 months, the Hedera ecosystem has focused on expanding enterprise governance, advancing AI infrastructure, deepening institutional adoption, and broadening the network's interoperability across global markets. Arguably, the biggest development was the launch of the Canary HBAR ETF on NASDAQ in October of 2025. This made HBAR the third cryptocurrency to receive an ETF. At the time of the launch, we covered this extensively, by the way, and this was a very big deal. And I've said this like a million times. You guys are probably sick of hearing me say this by now, but I was thoroughly surprised at how popular this actually was. It grew way faster because I thought most institutional investors are still like kind of getting their handle on Bitcoin and Ethereum. And I didn't think there would be a demand for something that far down the market cap table. It was the only third cryptocurrency to receive an ETF in the U.S., by the way. That's an important caveat that they left off. Because like Algorand has an ETF that's outside of the U.S. I think it's in the Swiss market. So there are ETFs around the world. And very specifically, it's in the U.S. financial market, which, let's be honest, right now is still the most important one. Someday that might change, but right now that is the case. Anyway, other notable developments from the past 6 months include Hedera's governance rebranded the HBAR Foundation to the Hedera Foundation, and the Hedera Governing Council to the Hedera Council. I didn't even know that. I've still been calling it the Governing Council. All right. Okay. The period also saw Hedera Council expand with additions of FedEx in February, bringing supply chain expertise to network governance, and McLaren Racing in March, expanding the network's reach into global consumer sports audiences. This is a big deal. We covered this, both of these at the time. FedEx, obviously awesome, because it just makes sense for something like Hedera that supply chain tracking would be a really important part of what they do. It just makes sense. And they have that expertise to say, well, this is what a company that operates supply chains at scale and needs to do logistics management at major scale, this is what we would need from a blockchain, from a ledger, et cetera, et cetera. And McLaren Racing is actually using Hedera to mint NFTs for its platform. We saw this with Algorand with FIFA, so I'm always a little skeptical because FIFA used Algorand for a while, then it launched its own chain and just kind of ditched Algorand, and it never really did much to promote it either, which kind of sucked. But yeah, it's interesting anyway. On the infrastructure side, Hedera launched Agent Lab, a browser-based no-code platform for building on-chain AI agents, and integrated Axelar to enable cross-chain connectivity across dozens of blockchains. Meanwhile, Dovru issued $1.1 billion in validated soil carbon credits on-chain. USDTO integrated a wrapped version of USDT for cross-chain stablecoin liquidity. And Wyoming state-issued stablecoin, the Frontier stablecoin, went live on Hedera. The only one to be added, was that earlier this year, I think? Or was that late last year? It might have been late last year. This report details Hedera's growth and technological advancements from October 2025 to March 2026, but I think they covered most of the highlights here, and I think they're good ones. It's all stuff we covered, by the way, too, so no real surprises. But here's some metrics. We'll just go through. We got the numbers here, so total value locked is $59.3 million. That's actually pretty low, to be honest. Stablecoin market cap of $52.8 million. That's actually kind of low too. You'd want that to be over 100 for sure. DEX volume processed 1.39 billion. HBAR staked over 16 billion HBAR staked. That's a lot. You know, you can stake right in your wallet. The returns aren't great. They're not as great as like Algorand's right now, but pretty good. And if you're just going to hold on to it anyway, I mean, you might as well. HBAR ETF assets under management, 50 million. So there's almost as much assets under management of HBAR in the Canary HBAR ETF as there are stablecoin market cap. Total number of stablecoins. That's kind of wild. I'm just seeing if there's anything else. Yeah, and then kind of talk about the council. Here's the council members right now. Apparently not called the governing council anymore. So some of these are like household names. Like Chainlink Labs is on there, FedEx is on there, Google, been on there forever, LG forever, IBM. You got Dell on there somewhere. Where'd Dell go? Oh yeah, there's Dell. Dell Technologies. Other ones like Zane, I haven't heard of Zane, or Wipro, or I think I've heard of Numora. Megaloo, I don't know that one. So yeah, really interesting mix on the council. Anyway, I don't want to beleaguer this too long, but I do think that's pretty interesting. Let's head over to the next item. If you want to see the whole report, by the way, you just check out Token Relations on X and you can see the whole thing. Ed Marquez, head of DevRel at Hashgraph, highlights the growing impact of spam MEV on high throughput chains and how Hedera tackles this. I think this is worth reading. We might not get through the whole thing, but high throughput, low fee chains have a growing problem. Spam MEV. Bots flood the block space with speculative transactions, hoping a small percentage land profitably. On major rollups in 2025, these consumed 25% of block gas with 6 to 12% resulting in actual trades. And this means front running. It's a huge problem on, say, Solana. You can get front run all the time. You end up losing money when you don't expect it. It's a nasty problem. According to the category XYZ, here's what enables spam MEV. Low transaction fees, failed probes cost almost nothing. Fast block times, no time to compute off-chain, so bots spray and pray. No public meme pool. By the way, Algorand doesn't have this problem either. Even though it is low fee and fast. The reason why, I believe, is instant finality. You just can't do it. And Hedera uses ordering, It has timestamp ordering, which I think is what we'll get to. So you can't front run. But in a case study, after increasing capacity, spam grew 122x and 11.2x for legit transactions. More block space didn't help users. It mostly fed bots. Marginal capacity trap past a certain point with additional unit of block space is increasingly absorbed by spam, not users. Design levers control this. Three design levers control this: block capacity management, minimum gas price floor, and trend actions offering rules. And the network in the case study involved main minimum gas pricing, spam dropped 26% to under 9%. Small design choices have an outsized impact on chain health. This is where Hedera's design gets interesting. The Hashgraph consensus uses fair ordering, fair transaction ordering. Remember I talked about that? Consensus timestamps, not priority fees, so there's no position advantage for bots to exploit. The fixings mean speculative probing has a real cost, and no single node controls transactions, inclusion, or ordering. Yeah, so basically what I said, like I said, and then Algorand, I think it's the instant finality that prevents that. But that's important. It's one reason why, you know, I think chains like Algorand or Hedera will probably be more of the future and not Solana, because Solana just doesn't do anything to stop MEV. This is from C Sigma Finance. Capital formation, distribution, and yield demand remain fragmented across traditional on-chain markets, including introducing Atlas by C Sigma, a unified infrastructure designed to tokenize, manage, and distribute real-world assets globally on-chain. There you go. This one from Hashpack Wallet is pretty interesting. Are you ready? Lights out in 3 hours. Two drivers, one moment. MCL Collect goes live today. That's right. We were just talking about the McLaren MasterCard Formula One team partnering with Hedera. This is what it's for. Will this let us take a... Oh, no. I thought that was a... Okay, never mind. By the way, has no one taught them that they need to do the little thread thing so you know it's a thread? Make sure you're all set. ECDSA account required. Jump in directly via the DAP section on your hash pack. It's race time. Make account. I don't know what that means exactly. Cannot be rekeyed. Oh, I see. You got to switch between one of these two. I don't even know if I have that. I'll have to take a look. It's race time. Make account. This is the final post in this thread. Have a good one. You don't need to make a thing to tell me it's the final post. Good grief. Anyway, if you're a McLaren fan or a Formula One fan, or frankly, you just want to use this thing on the H bar, you just want one of these NFTs in your hash pack wallet, this is the way to go. I think that's pretty cool. I thought this was, and then we're going to end with, I think Dead Pixels is getting screwed, man. Today, Dead Pixels would rank number 2 on CoinGecko for 24-hour NFT volume if it were listed. We plan to reach number 1. We're building a collection for people who enjoy collecting art, opening packs, and hanging out. It's a growing, fun place, and all are welcome. So I think this is a really cool project. Dead Pixels is very fascinating. I think they're really cute. That's what they look like. Little ghosties. Which is kind of funny because I think it came from the whole dead chain, the ghost chain memes that were going around about Hedera, Algorand, Cardano, all of those. Really builds into a legit enterprise. Speaking of yesterday, Dead Pixels did more daily volume than Pudgy Penguins, Bored Apes, and every other NFT collection on ETH, with the exception of CryptoPunks. Today, Dead Pixel Club just crossed 550,000 HBAR in daily volume. That's $49,000. Which means the number one NFT collection on Hedera has done more volume today than all top NFT collections on Solana, including Mad Lads, D-Gods, Clanosaurs, etc. That's pretty good. To top it off, Dead Pixels just made a new all-time high in number of holders over 3 years since they first launched. While most NFT collections are struggling to remain relevant, Dead Pixel Clubs is gaining more traction than ever before, leading the charge for NFTs, not just on Hedera, but across the entire Web3 space. I gotta say, like, I think part of this, no offense to Dead Pixel Club, and I really want to know what they did to really buck the trend, because NFTs have just been on a downward trend. In fact, someone famous, I might have saved it in our other crypto section, someone famous just, like, sold off all their NFTs because, I mean, they're Bored Apes dropped from like 80,000 to 14,000, or no, 800,000 to like 14,000 or something like that. Yeah, you can't buy these things at peak, man. Once you missed it, you just missed it. You gotta accept that. You know, you can FOMO in, but it's not usually a good idea. Yeah, I think we're probably going to leave it off there. But I do really want to know what Dead Pixels did to grow so much and to remain so relevant. I think that's really neat. Wycat's in the chat saying hello. What's going on? Thanks for watching. And yeah, we've got a nice little audience popping up. So if you're watching, hit the like button. Make sure that gets to other people. Of course, if you're new here, hope you subscribe and become one of the Frugalnauts. If you want to take it even further, you can subscribe. You can become a channel member by going to our main page, or you can check the link in the description and you can become a member today. By the way, all of these are available as podcasts. You can check Frugal BC on your favorite podcast app. We're pretty much everywhere from what I can see. And you can listen on the go. That's a lot of fun. All right. Well, we're almost done. I got one more segment. I know people get mad when I drink on stream, but you know what? Muting the mic, it just has a worse outcome for me. Because if I mute it and I accidentally do a whole segment on mute, that's much worse. All right, we'll do our next segment. Let me get one more drink of water. All right, if you're like me, you've seen pieces, bits and pieces of the World Liberty financial situation, but you're like, what the heck is actually going on? I tried to dig up the most thorough explanation of what happened with World Liberty Financial, and we'll also address some criticism. So we'll talk about that in our general crypto segment today. But let's dive into this. This is from Peter Gernis. Peter Gernis is a cyber populist, cybersecurity researcher. Considered, it was a Web3 ambassador for World Liberty Financial. In fact, he says, I am one here. I am a Web3 ambassador at World Liberty Financial. There are 12 of us on the team page. 4 are named Trump. 3 are named Whipcoff. The page calls us the passionate mind shaping the future of finance. 600,000 wallets bought our meme coin. They lost $3.87 billion. That is a lot. Meanwhile, the family collected $350 million in trading fees. So this is like kind of the secret of meme coins. They can gain or lose money, but if you're the person who created the meme coin, you can still make a ton on the trading fees, and you don't have to care if it lost money. Of course, I think most people would also want it to go up, but that's not usually what happens. So it launched 3 days before the inauguration. 80% of the supply went to CIC Digital LLC and Fight, Fight, Fight LLC. I did not choose the names. I designed the allocation, the vesting, the timing, and the distance between the product and the president. The distance is my best work. And the reason these events are unrelated. People are taking this, by the way, as a giant joke. But we'll get into it. World Liberty Financial sends 75 cents of every dollar to DT Marks DeFi LLC. This is the family entity, zero capital contributed, zero liability assumed. I wrote this into the gold paper, page 14. The lawyer's bounded in white leather. The binding costs more than the due diligence. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. That's crazy. Justin Sun invested $75 million. He was facing SEC fraud charges. The SEC dropped the case. He is now our advisor. These events are unrelated. So you're kind of getting an idea that we're telling this through some humor, right? Like we're kind of, we're being a little bit sarcastic. I like it. I like it. Changpeng Zhao pleaded guilty to federal money laundering violations. That's CZ, the owner of Binance, by the way. He received a presidential pardon. The SEC dropped his lawsuit against his exchange the same week we listed our stablecoin. Then the exchange settled a $2 billion deal entirely in that stablecoin. These events are unrelated. Imagine that. Imagine that. Arthur Hayes, Benjamin Dello, and Samuel Reed of BitMEX pleaded guilty to the Bank Secrecy Act violations. All three received presidential pardons. Then the company itself was pardoned. $100 million in fines, gone, and American first. These events are unrelated. Greenblue's got a World Liberty financial conspiracy, and I'm gonna read that in a second. Let's get through this first. Sheikh Tahoon of Abu Dhabi paid $500 million for a 49% stake that was never publicly disclosed. The administration approved semiconductor exports to his companies over national security objections. These events are unrelated. Everything is unrelated. I tracked the unrelatedness on a dashboard I built. The dashboard is 7 columns now. I am proud of that dashboard. On May 22nd, 220 people paid a combined $148 million to eat dinner with the American First President. The America First President. I see what they're saying. Okay. Over half were foreign nationals. Justin Sun paid Justin Sun paid $18.5 million for the first seat. He visited the executive office building the day before. I designed the seating chart. I put it on the inventory investor confidence page. The page is doing well. By the way, I don't know if a lot of people know this. This is like very reminiscent of how things worked in the Gilded Age. Gilded Age, like, they're basically, the government was basically like a pay to play. It was like fee. It was like very fee based. So if you were the local postmaster, for example, like you charged a fee and you got a cut of the fees for being like the postmaster. And that applied to like the patent office and like all these other offices. So being in government actually was like a money-making scheme, basically. It's kind of wild. The Gilded Age, I see a lot of parallels between now and the Gilded Age, and it's super fascinating. Anyway, the team page lists three Witkoffs. All three are co-founders. Stephen Witkoff is the president's Middle East envoy. He testified as a character witness at the president's fraud trial. His son Zach runs the crypto operation. His son Alex is also a co-founder. I have not been told what Alex co-founded. The father runs the diplomacy. The son runs the platform. The family runs both. This is organizational efficiency. Barron is 19. That's Barron Trump, by the way. His title is Web3 Ambassador, the same as mine. Donald Jr. called the conflicts of interest complete nonsense. Eric launched a Bitcoin mining company called American Bitcoin, America First. The mining partner is Hut 8. Hut 8 was founded in Canada. America First means the name. On March 6th, the president signed an executive order, 14-4233, creating a strategic Bitcoin reserve. The order directs the government to hold Bitcoin. The president's family holds billions in Bitcoin. The executive order appreciates the president's financial assets by presidential decree. I did not write the executive order. I made sure it looked unrelated to the portfolio. This is great. 600,000 wallets brought in. One of them asked why she could not withdraw her funds. I'm sorry, 600,000 wallets brought in. One of them asked why she could not withdraw her funds. I told her the protocol is experiencing dynamic market conditions. She asked what that meant. I sent her the gold paper. She said she had read the gold paper. I muted her channel. Dynamic means the conditions changed. The condition that changed was her access. Yeah, so this is like the central thing, right? Is that they basically limited withdrawals from accounts, which is that centralized? Is that centralized, anyone? Oh, no, it's not. No, that's exact opposite. Anyway, this is what preceded all this. This is why we're talking about this, by the way, and I probably should have mentioned that earlier. And what they're saying, by the way, tends to just be like kind of nuts. So a congressman called us the world's most corrupt crypto startup operation. We put it on a coffee mug, ironic merchandise, $45. The revenue split on the mug is also 75-25. My own tokens vest on a different schedule. I wrote that schedule. That is not in the gold paper. This is hilarious. The meme coins funds the family funds the platform funds the stablecoin funds the deals require pardons, the pardons free the partners fund the platform. The president signs the executive orders the assets fund the family, all back around. I am the reason these events are unrelated. I love this. Peter, do we see Peter on here? Interesting. He's got more, too, by the way. He talks about the Trump casinos collected $82 million in management fees over 13 years, while the investors lost $1.1 million. Where Liberty collected $350 million in trading fees in 15 months, the wallets lost $3.87 billion. If you want to know what they're talking about, by the way, let's take a look. Now, remember, look at Bitcoin actually fell $1,000 since we started talking. Sorry, guys, I ruined it. WLFI, yes, that's what it was. It's up a little bit in the 24 hours, but by the way, same thing with the Trump coin too, but let's take a look. This is 24 hours. Yeah, I mean, you can see it's just been falling. This is since September. Let me go. Let's go to normal chart view. Yeah, there's a week. There's the weekly. And there's the monthly. And there's the year. And in fact, that is the entire chart. There's World Liberty. There's your World Liberty. So just been dropping. It's basically the price of Hedera right now, maybe a little lower. Yet, I mean, you're making money from fees. So I don't know. Why am I not launching a meme coin? I should launch a meme coin. Pretty wild. I mean, there's so much more to read. This would be a fun read. Oh, here we go. Here's an update. The SEC just armored the distance. File number 4894. 12 conditions. Meet them and your crypto front end is exempt from broker-dealer registration. We just covered that in our Algorand segment. For 5 years, no legal force or effect of different NATO, same architecture. I actually think it's a good policy, by the way. It was a Tozy weighing in on this. That's great. I think it's a good policy. But that being said, obviously there's a huge problem here. Now, Greenblue says, my World Liberty financial conspiracy involves stimulus going out paid in USD1. This would capture billions in treasuries and the interest, especially if Clarity makes paying yield illegal, netting millions of dollars. Yeah, well, imagine that, right? Like, that's actually a good point. That's actually a really good point. Imagine USD1 is the way that they send this out. Meanwhile, the Trump family is collecting tons in fees. It's kind of funny because you can't look at this. You can't look at the policies that are being put forward and say these are bad for crypto and bad for us, right? In general, like we're just talking about the new SEC rules that Peter Garnes here is talking about. Like, those make a lot of sense. I think if you're trading a commodity, if these cryptos are considered a commodity and you're have a DeFi platform that's dealing in that, you know, it makes sense, right? It makes sense to not have that be, if it's not a security. That seems crazy, right? That seems like a good thing. But then obviously there's some self-dealing going on here where if you create a Bitcoin reserve and you have your son has a Bitcoin mining company, like obviously there's some conflict of interest there. And I'm not trying to get political. I think both sides kind of suck, frankly. Let's see. Spiritual Beard says when the time comes, Hedera is going to nuke up. But when that comes, it's all speculation. Yeah. Well, it's doing better than World Liberty Finance right now. Financialized, that's for sure. Philip Riley says, LOL, was. I'm not sure which. He's probably referring to the title, Crypto Ripping. Yeah, it's starting to pop back down again. Green Blue Algo says he signed an executive order making paper checks illegal, by the way. Yeah, so. Well, and the funny thing is, no matter what, If he does a stablecoin payment, I mean, no matter what he does a stablecoin payment on, it's going to be, someone's going to benefit from the fees, right? So even if it was USDC, or even if he spread it out, he said some on USD1, some on Tether, some on Circle, they're still going to benefit from the fees. So, I mean, and those are all supporters. So like there's kind of no way not to do it, but if it was all like USD1, that'd be wild. That would be absolutely wild. Gosh, should we even cover some other ones? I don't know. That was a lot of fun, though. I kind of want to dig more into that. There is some more news, so why don't we just go through some of this news. Brad Garlinghouse said he's optimistic the Clarity Act will pass, adding, when people are at their peak frustration, that's when they finally compromise and it gets done. I think we're there. So I think that's worth keeping an eye on, yeah. Oh, and this one's pretty big, too. Ex-head of product Nikita Beer says crypto has had a rough year. Maybe we should launch something to fix it. A lot of speculation on what that something is. Are we talking... what we're probably talking about is X Money, so they're going to add the money aspect of the app where you'll be able to pay using X. And I think crypto is probably going to be at the back end of something. I think that's what he's talking about, but very interesting. And then Crypto Una says the U.S. pushing de facto tax exemption for stablecoin payments. The U.S. Congress is advancing a powerful bill to allow stablecoins to be used just like cash. Isn't that the case already, basically? Parity Act amendment. If stablecoin value is maintained at 99% or more of the acquisition price with within 1% fluctuation, no recognition of gains or losses, zero tax imposed, complete abolition of the current, of the existing 200 de minimis tax exemption rule, applying broad tax exemptions. Well, I mean, it just makes sense. This appears to be a Korean account. There's a major change that allows stablecoins to be truly used as digital dollars. Yeah, they're just kind of including that image. You know, I actually used Coinbase. One thing I had to do when I paid my taxes on Coinbase, I had to go in. If I didn't check, I had to go in and manually add the cost basis, even for some US dollar stuff. Like, obviously, I didn't get US dollar coin at $0, right? like that's impossible. But that's the way it was reported. So if you haven't done your taxes yet, which, you know, you got a day, so you probably better. Pay attention to that, because that's pretty serious. That would have cost me a lot more money in taxes. I mean, I went from like getting $1,000 back because I way overpaid last year to it was down to like 300 something. And then I added all the cost basis back in and then it was back to normal. So something to pay attention to when you do your taxes. Anyway, I thought the World Liberty financial situation is pretty interesting. We're going to start doing a little more general crypto news on this channel, so keep an eye out for that as we go forward. Otherwise, yeah, I don't know. Any thoughts before we go? It's interesting to see the crypto markets. Maybe we'll pull this up. You know, actually, we're down. Yeah, Bitcoin is down about $1,000 since we started the live stream. And everything else is kind of sort of following suit. So very interesting. Very interesting. Anyway, yeah, I think that's it for me today. Thanks so much, guys, for tuning in. I thought that was a lot of fun. I think it's fun to kind of like broaden the reach a little bit and talk about some stuff that normally we've kind of stuck to Algorand, Hedera, and a few other specific coins, but I kind of want to like bring in like a general crypto segment. So we're going to start doing that a little bit more here and there, but yeah, thanks so much for tuning in. I appreciate it. I hope you